Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, January 12, 2025, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God initially to Romans 8, verse 6. Romans 8, 6. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege that we have this morning of assembling in freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans 8, verse 6. So then, the mind set on the sin nature, that is controlled by the sin nature, is death. Carnal death, resulting in the sin unto death. But the mind set on the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Spirit, is life, spiritual life, resulting in peace. And the word peace is eirene. And that is great grace blessing. So we have a contrast here. Verse 6 contrasts the loser believer with the winner believer. There are a lot of loser believers today who make bad decisions. And they are controlled by the sin nature. The loser believer is in carnal death and without the use of rebound, and without reversion recovery, it will eventually result in maximum divine discipline, the sin unto death. However, the winner believer makes good decisions to live the spiritual life. He is controlled by God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. The winner believer lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, and that results in peace, eirene, great blessing from God. At salvation, God the Father imputes his righteousness to the believer, justification by faith. This establishes a grace pipeline, with God's justice on one end and his imputed righteousness in the believer on the other end. And down that grace pipeline comes eirene, phenomenal, amazing blessings. So after salvation, what? What is God's plan for you, for all of us. God's plan for you is to receive blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. You are left in this life to be blessed by the grace and power of God. It doesn't get any better than that. God's plan for you is to have Christmas every single day. God's plan for you is to have Thanksgiving every single day. Now, God wants you to think categorically. It just helps if He wants you to think, period. God wants you to think, and He wants you to think categorically with regard to His plan and the blessings that He has for us. The divine plan of blessing us, eirene, began the very moment of faith in Jesus Christ. In this dispensation, only the church age, God has provided 40 grace blessings for the believer at the very moment of faith in Jesus Christ. These are grace gifts from God at salvation. You receive these 40 grace blessings at the very moment of salvation before you've had a chance to do anything. And therefore, you obviously receive these fantastic blessings by the grace of God. You don't earn them. You don't deserve them. All you have done is simply believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you had Christmas right then. Right then, God brought 40 gifts to you at salvation. And we've been studying this first category. Think categorically. God, that's thinking categorically. Understand that at salvation, 40 salvation blessings were given to you by the grace and power of God. That was instantly. And then after that, from that day right up to this morning, God has been sending down that grace pipeline, logistical grace blessing. Blessing and support to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world. Why? So you can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, advance to maturity, because He wants to then send down that grace pipeline to you, greater grace blessing. Greater grace blessings in time, and greater grace blessings awarded to you at the judgment seat of Christ. Crowns and rewards that glorify God forever and ever and ever. So God's plan for us goes from salvation, blessing, 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 40 blessings, logistical grace, blessing and support, fantastic logistical grace blessings, with the ultimate, so that He can pour out greater grace blessings. That's the plan of God that He has for you. Now, if you make bad decisions, if you use your free will and volition to make bad decisions to get out of fellowship with God and live in Satan's cosmic system, well, out of virtue love, those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. Not because He loves to discipline you. It's just that He doesn't want to see you crash and burn, and He wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. So divine discipline, the motivation, is His virtue love, infinite virtue love for us. He loves each one of us with infinite virtue love. He doesn't want to see you crash and burn. He wants to bless you. So when you make bad decisions to get in Satan's cosmic system, God will spank you. Those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. But it's because He wants to bless you. He doesn't want to see you crash and burn. That's how great our God is. And I hope from this study, you will come to know and love Jesus Christ and the Father greater than you ever have before. Because He wants to bless us. That's His plan. Now, you all have your own plans, but they're not even close to God's plan. The best plan of all is God's plan for you. He wants to bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Well, we have been studying the 40 salvation blessings, and we've studied the first 37. Now, I'm not going to go through, I refer you to your notes. You took notes, I refer you to your notes. All I will do will tell you, number one was efficacious grace, and then you got to take it from there with your notes. Number two was the sealing ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. Number three was an eternal inheritance. Number four was regeneration. Number five was eternal life. Number six was the imputed righteousness of God. Number seven was resultant justification. Number eight was reconciliation. Number nine was the beneficiaries of propitiation. Number 10 was the beneficiaries of unlimited atonement. Number 11 was the beneficiaries of redemption. Number 12 was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Number 13, we were created a new spiritual species. Number 14, we were entered into the royal family of God forever. Number 15, we were given equal privilege and equal opportunity. All of you, I don't care what your human IQ is. You, if it's a room temperature, fine. But God's given you all equal privilege and equal opportunity to advance to maturity and glorify God to the maximum. Every one of you, every one of you have equal privilege and equal opportunity to attain spiritual maturity, glorify God to the maximum, and come under greater grace blessing. Number 16, positional sanctification. Number 17, election to privilege. Number 18, predestination. Number 19, a universal priesthood of the believer. Number 20, the royal ambassadorship of the believer. Number 21, the indwelling of God the Father. Number 22, the indwelling of God the Son. Number 23, the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. Number 24, the unique availability of divine power. Number 25, the unique protocol plan of God for the church age believer. Number 26, the filling of the Holy Spirit to be empowered, the power to live this unique spiritual life that He's given us in the church age. Number 27, the distribution of spiritual gifts. We all have at least one spiritual gift. You may have more than one. Number 28, all judgment is removed. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Number 29, deliverance from the kingdom of Satan. Number 30, we are transferred into the kingdom of God. Number 31, we are a gift. We are a gift from God the Father to God the Son. Number 32, we are delivered from the power of the sin nature as the ruler of human life. Number 33, we are given access to God. Number 34, all scar tissue is removed from the soul at the very moment of salvation, faith in Christ. Number 35, greater grace blessings. Now, they aren't awarded to you at the moment of faith in Christ, but at the moment of faith in Christ, our greater grace blessings are now made available to us. Number 36, we are on a secure foundation. Number 37, we are related to God the Son by biblical analogy. At the moment of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, the church age believer becomes related to God the Son through eight special biblical analogies or relationships. The first one, the the last Adam, Jesus Christ, and the new creation, the new spiritual species. Second, the head, Jesus Christ is the head, and we are the body of Christ. Number three, he is the great shepherd, and we are the sheep. Number four, he is the true vine, and we are the branches. Number five, he is the chief cornerstone, and we are the stones in the building. Number six, he is the great high priest, and we are the members of the royal priesthood. Number seven, he is the groom, and we are the bride, and our wedding occurs at the second advent of Jesus Christ. Number eight, he is the King of Kings, and we are the royal family of God. Now that brings us to number 38. We are the recipients of eternal security. We can never, ever, 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 ever. We can never lose our salvation. None of you, none of us, we cannot lose our salvation. And God, to make that clear, he teaches it again and again and again and again and again, every way possible, so that you would never, ever even think that you could lose your salvation. That's impossible. And yet here are all these Christians and a lot of churches and a lot of pastors, they hold that over the congregation. You can lose your salvation. You better do this, and you better do that, and you better do something else, or you will lose your salvation. Well, you see, you haven't gotten that from this pulpit. You can never, ever, ever lose your salvation. And God has presented that in every way possible so that you have this nailed down. You have eternal security. First of all, there's the essence of God rationale. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. Secondly, the exegetical rationale. And I love this because God, the Holy Spirit, in his inspiration ministry, put down in the original autographs, Koine Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic, exactly what he wants you to know. And what we have here is the exegetical rationale. We have something called a periphrastic participle. Ooh, you want to know that? You can just tell right away. Periphrastic participle. You know, something's happening here. Periphrastic participle. So Ephesians 2:8 and 9, we have this periphrastic participle. For by grace you have been saved in the past with the result that you stand saved forever through faith. And this salvation is not from yourself. It is a gift from God, not by works, but by lest any man should boast. So in Ephesians 2:8, we have this periphrastic participle. And the purpose of the periphrastic participle is to add great emphasis. In fact, the periphrastic participle is one of the most powerful and most forceful of all expressions in any language. It is so strong and so powerful that it has no loopholes, no leaks of any kind. In just a few seconds in time, you believe in Jesus Christ and possess eternal life and eternal security. Third, you have the positional sanctification rationale. Romans 8. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. We're in Romans 8, verse 6. But it's just going to get better and better and better here. Romans 8, we'll start at verse 37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. And where are we? In Christ Jesus. That's where we are. So that's the positional sanctification rationale. And then there's the logical approach, just to go back up Romans 8:31. Romans 8:31, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, first class condition, and He is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. What was that? God's impersonal love for the whole world when we were at our worst, when we were spiritually dead and totally depraved, when we were no damn good. He gave Him up for us all. If He did that for us when we were the worst, then Paul says, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things now that we are His sons? That's eternal security. That's the logical approach. And then there's the family of God rationale. I always love this one. Because in families you have parents. Some parents have children. And those children, well, you love it when they all turn out great, you know, great children. But sometimes they don't turn out great children. Sometimes there's a good one, then there's a bad one, and then there's in between, and you know, you got all kinds of stuff. So here's the family of God rationale. One thing, once you're in a family, you're in the family. Whether you're a good son or a bad son, you're a son. So once we're born into a human family, we cannot be unborn. We cannot be removed from that family. Once in the family of God, no believer can be removed from the family of God. So the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you are born into the family of God. Every member of the human race, most have a father and a mother, and he is always in that family. Once in that family, he's always in that family. So once in the family of God, you are always in the family of God. No matter how you turn out in life, you will always belong to the same family. Some children of God turn out well, and some children of God don't. But they're all part of God's family. Therefore, every believer possesses eternal inheritance. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1, starting in verse 3. Now you have the word blessed probably. It should be translated worthy of praise and glorification. The God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy, mercy is grace in action, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And then we have coming up in verses 16 and 17 of Romans 8. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself, God the Holy Spirit, testifies along with our spirit, the human spirit, that we are the children of God. And if we are children, first class condition, and we are the children of God, we are also heirs. On the one hand, we are heirs of God the Father, but on the other hand, we are joint heirs with Christ. So that's coming up in Romans 8, 16 and 17. And then there is the body metaphor for eternal security. In the royal family of God, Jesus Christ is the head of the body, and every believer is a member or a part of his body. And this is seen in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and Colossians 1, 18. And to the most insignificant of believers, Jesus Christ cannot say, I don't need you. That is eternal security. And in 1 Corinthians, well, turn over to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. First Corinthians 12. Let's start at verse 20. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20. As it is, there are many parts, but there's one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head, who's the head? Jesus Christ, cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. So that is eternal security, the body metaphor. And then there's the anthropomorphism for eternal security, and I love this. This is whenever I do a memorial service, and I've done memorial services where there were lots and lots of unbelievers there. I did Deb's mom's memorial service and her dad's memorial service. I did my mom's memorial service and my dad's memorial service. And Deb's dad was a big mucky muck at Washington State University. And everybody came to that memorial service. And some of them, there were a few believers there, a lot of them were not believers, but they heard the grace gospel, and I always would take this passage as a part of the memorial service. Turn over to John 10, Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 10, Jesus Christ is holding Bible class, and he says in verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Well, it was so fun doing the memorial service of Deb's mom and her dad and my mom and my dad, because they had all believed in Jesus Christ. And at the moment, that moment of faith in Christ, Jesus Christ took them in his hand. And he never, ever lets go. You can never get out of the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as this passage goes on, and the hand of the Father. He is holding you by your hand until physical death, he's still holding your hand, and you're absent from the body and face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven forever and ever and ever. You are in his hand forever. Eternal security. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So this is the anthropomorphism for eternal security. An anthropomorphism ascribes to God a human characteristic or a part of the human body, which God doesn't have, but it is used to explain some divine policy to us in terms of human anatomy. And then there is the sealing metaphor for eternal security, Ephesians 1:13, Ephesians 4:30. And a sealing is the guarantee of eternal salvation at the moment of faith in Christ. Sealing is a guarantee of eternal security. Sealing was a sign of possession. And therefore, a seal attached to something signifies ownership. Now that's very important. So no matter what happens after salvation, God owns us. He sealed us. And he will deliver us at the point of ultimate sanctification, the rapture of the church. Anything to which God attaches his seal belongs to God forever. Through the function of the integrity of God, we are permanently owned by God forever and ever. And then there is the eternal life rationale. 1 John 5:11 to 13. Eternal life means eternal security. Both eternal life and eternal security are guaranteed by the integrity of God, his absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Eternal security is an unbreakable relationship because it depends entirely on who and what God is, never on who and what we are. Man's weakness cannot cancel God's strength. Man's failures cannot nullify the integrity of God. Turn over to 1 John 5. 1 John 5, verse 11. And this is the testimony: God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Where are we? In union with Christ. How do we get there? Baptism of the Spirit, the moment of faith in Christ. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name, the person of the Son of God, so that you may know without a doubt that you have eternal life. So that's number 38, eternal security. God has presented it over and over, every way possible. He wants you to understand. You have eternal security. You can never, ever, ever lose your salvation. Number 39, we are guaranteed a resurrection body forever. Guaranteed a resurrection body forever. Hoo-ah! I'm looking forward to that one. Resurrection body forever? This body sucks. I am looking forward to the resurrection body. And it's just around the corner. At the moment anyone believes in Jesus Christ, he is guaranteed a resurrection body, a perfect body forever. Turn over to the Gospel of John, John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking with Martha. In verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Addressing Martha. Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. And then number 40 in the 40 salvation blessings. Number 40, we are the beneficiaries of God's problem-solving devices. At the moment we believe in Christ, whatever problems we have had in the past, and whatever our inadequacies, and whatever types of suffering that we are going through at the present, God has given to us precisely correct procedure, problem-solving devices, so that we can clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing. As you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and attain spiritual maturity, some of you will qualify for this highest of all blessings, a special mantle, to wear the mantle of undeserved suffering for blessing. And what does that allow you to do? To glorify God in times of suffering as well as in times of prosperity and good health. And many of you have come across that or in that category. I recognize it. And it's a great privilege for you to, well, I was a hurdler when I was at Washington State University. And I think one of the best ways to illustrate undeserved suffering for blessing is running spiritual hurdles. And as you reach that point in your spiritual life and spiritual maturity, God gives you this fantastic blessing. You get to run. You get to run the hurdles. You get to run the spiritual hurdles. But one thing about hurdling, it demands precisely correct procedure. And when you're going over running spiritual hurdles of undeserved suffering, it demands precisely correct procedure. What is that precisely correct procedure? God's given it His problem-solving devices. So at the moment we believe in Christ, whatever problems we have had in the past, whatever our inadequacies, whatever suffering we are going through, He has given us the precisely correct procedure, His problem-solving devices. Like the rest of the 40 salvation blessings, we're not aware of these problem-solving devices at the point of faith in Christ's salvation. Awareness comes through spiritual growth, through consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God. These problem-solving devices are exclusive to the believer only. To the believer only. Precisely correct procedure for clearing the hurdles of suffering for blessing include rebound, 1 John 1:9, if we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, restoring us to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and our spiritual life. And then second is the filling of the Spirit, which results from using the rebound technique. Now you're empowered. You have divine power. You have to have divine power to clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing. That divine power is the power of God, the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Walk by means of the Spirit, you will not carry out the lust pattern of the sin nature. Number three, the faith rest life. Number four, grace orientation. Number five, doctrinal orientation. Number six, personal sense of destiny. Number seven, personal love for God the Father. Number eight, impersonal love for all mankind. Number nine, occupation with Jesus Christ. Number 10, sharing the happiness of God. Self-contained happiness, plus age. So here you are wearing a very special mantle, undeserved suffering for blessing. But while you have that undeserved suffering for blessing, you have in here virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And when you, that personal love for God the Father, combined with occupation with Jesus Christ, means you have self-contained happiness as you go through that undeserved suffering for blessing. God's self-contained happiness. You share the happiness of God. And when you run those spiritual hurdles, when you glorify God in times of suffering as well as in times of prosperity and good health, you glorify God to the maximum. And God has for you the most amazing greater grace blessings in time, but to be awarded at the judgment seat of Christ that glorify Him for all eternity. So after salvation, what? God's plan for you is to receive blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. You are left in this life to be blessed. This is the divine plan of blessing us. It began the moment of salvation, faith in Christ, with 40 salvation blessings, which we have just studied. And then every single day from the moment of faith in Christ right up to this morning, He has given us down that grace pipeline logistical grace, blessing, and support to keep us alive in the middle of the devil's world so that we might fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for our lives. And what is that? He wants you to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain spiritual maturity, have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Then He can send down greater grace blessings to you for the rest of your time here in this life and then for all eternity. Well, we're going to take a break right here. And when we come back for part two, we will go to the next categorical doctrine. God wants you to think categorically. The 40 salvation blessings, the second category, logistical grace, blessing, and support. All right, take a break, come back, part two in a few.